Coming up on Healthy Thinking, how a new technology-enabled community support system for older people and those with health needs at home is reducing social isolation and avoiding hundreds of ambulance call-outs during the COVID-19 pandemic.
The proactive calls for some individuals have been a lifeline, and certainly very much a lifeline through COVID. We've actually carried out something close to 5,000 call-outs since January 2020, predominantly for fallers. Out of all of our call-outs, we've only had to escalate about 7% of those calls to emergency services. So I think it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that actually a response service like this actually is very much needed and has a huge impact.
This is Healthy Thinking from Life Sciences Hub Wales, a podcast series bringing new perspectives from leading thinkers in health and care innovation. It's presented by Chris Martin.
Hello, and a very warm welcome to our podcast, Croeso I chi gyd. Today, we're going to take a look at assistive technology and how it's enabling people to live healthy, productive, independent, and dignified lives. Hearing aids, wheelchairs, communication aids, spectacles, pill organisers, and memory aids are all examples of assistive products, and about a billion people throughout the world make use of it. But the technology is getting more and more sophisticated with iPads, tablets, robots, connected systems, and wearable technology now being used to deliver health and social care, enabling people to lead safe, independent lives at home. We're going to take a look at one such system developed here in Wales by Delta Wellbeing. With me to talk about it is Carla Dix, Technology-Enabled Care Prevention Strategy Manager at Delta Wellbeing. Carla, welcome.
Nice to be here, Chris.
Great to have you with us.
Looking forward to being able to have a conversation about our project that we're running out in West Wales.
Excellent. Good. We're looking forward to it too. Thanks indeed, Carla. So tell us a little about this Connect project then. It provides an enhanced lifeline, so we understand, and telecare services across the three counties of Carmarthenshire, Pembrokeshire and Ceredigion. So how is this set up and how does it work in practice?
It's been running now for a couple of years and is one of the transformation funded projects from Welsh Government, seen as a national exemplar, predominantly because I think we're trying to do something at scale here that has the potential to be rolled out across Wales and possibly even wider than really. The focus is around a very traditional lifeline telecare service, which actually is across all of Wales, across the UK generally. But the focus is then around being preventative and proactive in that approach. So traditional lifeline and telecare services are reactive. Individuals have equipment in their homes. They either press pendants, buttons, or something happens with those sensors, goes through to a call centre, and then that call centre will react at that point. So, you know, we've got people waiting in call monitoring centres for those activations to come through, and then an appropriate response will be made for those individuals. That still happens, because clearly there is a need for that, absolutely. But what the Connect project does is provides that enhanced wraparound service provision where, in addition to reacting to those button presses and sensor activations, we are in contact with those individuals weekly, monthly or quarterly phone call to those individuals to understand what their circumstances are, just to touch base with some individuals, possibly. It may very well be for some individuals, Chris, that might be the only communication that they have with somebody outside of, you know, we have got individuals that are by themselves, quite isolated and lonely. So we may very well be speaking to them on a weekly basis, and it might be the only interaction that they actually have. The proactive calls element is there to really pick up early on any triggers for potential crisis then. So we have an understanding of what that individual circumstances are through a well-being plan that we would have co-produced with them. And we have an understanding of whether or not they might have carers, whether or not they've got family, friends locally, whether or not their network might be quite limited. They may very well have quite a big network of family and friends locally. So actually all of the assessment that we do with them and that co-production of a well-being plan allows us to be able to understand that their circumstances and step in but support them. So it might be ongoing referrals, it might be through to sort of third sector groups. It might be that there's a statutory referral that's required, and actually if it's appropriate, then we would do that. But it's also about supporting that individual to build resilience within themselves to deal with those crises then, really, and look at what they've already got around them, as well as what's in the community, to try to limit the demand that might be put on social services or health sort of services, and allow individuals to take that responsibility for themselves, become, perhaps even regain independence in some circumstances then. Our proactivity with those individuals allows us to be able to delay some of those statutory interventions and sort of support them to sort of stay independent in the community then, really.
Look, Carla, that sounds fantastic, doesn't it? And I remember when my mum, bless her, when she was alive, you know, she had the Piper alarm, and that was a godsend to us as a family, because it just gave you that sort of comfort blanket to know that if there was a need, she could press that and that she could get some support if required. But this feels great, doesn't it? You know, you're empowering the individual to make the decisions with the statutory bodies to ensure that, as you say, they build that resilience and then they're empowered in their own lives. I mean, that just sounds wonderful, doesn't it?
We've got to bear in mind as well that we're all aware of the individuals that have seemingly slipped through that statutory care net, and we get into them when they're at their lowest point and they've got a huge amount, you know, to sort of be supported with. And sometimes that's because people don't want to phone social work or don't want to go and tell people that actually things are not right for me and I'm struggling a little bit. We have people that are very proud and independent individuals but think, oh, well, look, I'll manage or whatever. And I think Delta are in quite a unique position. So although we are 100% owned by Carmarthenshire Council, we're a local authority trading company, so actually work slightly differently. And probably a lot of our clients don't see us as statutory social care, and we're not statutory social care. We are that sort of front door beforehand then, really. And I think that allows us to have a different relationship with them, and probably then we're able to build those strong relationships where they know that at the time when we need to get involved from a statutory perspective, we will do. But our main focus is trying to keep them out of that, trying to support them differently and support them to make changes in their own lives then, really.
Well, I remember when I was chair of Howard Dda University Health Board all those years ago. And in fact, I remember going to Llanelli to see some of this in action. So maybe the early nurturing of the idea around Delta and how you were making sure that rather than saying, right, we're the statutory body, we will tell you what you want, you actually ask the patient or the client, say, what would you really like? And I always remember this one chap said, I want to be able to go to the pub on a Friday night to meet with my friends. And so we put that in place and it worked. And he was absolutely thrilled. And that light touch sometimes is all that they need, as opposed to wrapping everything around them that's overbearing almost. Brilliant. Good. Excellent. Well, look, let's move on to the benefits that the clients have seen then. So can you give us some examples of how they've improved health and well-being by the fantastic work that you've been doing?
Yeah, okay. I think that there are lots. We've been lucky enough to have quite a lot of sort of case studies come out with that. And I suppose if anybody is interested in looking at some of those case studies, they are on our website. But I think we've got a few different elements. So as I said, the proactive calls for some individuals have been a lifeline, and certainly very much a lifeline through COVID, really, because there are individuals that have been isolating probably more than some people have needed to, and especially those perhaps with long-term conditions or health issues then. There's no script to follow, shall we say, then, in terms of them saying, okay, you know, how are you today? Is everything okay? Yes, okay, sort of goodbye. It's about being guided by what's going on for that individual. And as I said, because we've created that wellbeing plan with them, we understand their circumstances. So it might be that they've got interests with gardening, or they might be, I don't know, true crime novel readers or whatever it is. And actually, this is about having those conversations that are actually adding value there, really. So the proactive calls have been phenomenal in terms of ensuring that that person has got some sort of contact. An element of the project was about linking people and engaging people digitally. So part of the project was able to provide them with a digital tablet and the internet connectivity. So if somebody wasn't already digitally engaged, then actually that allowed us to be able to then provide something for that client to be able to be digitally connected. We've got a number of clients that were able to speak to family members that were living away, so they wouldn't have been able to have seen them through lockdowns. Some quite sort of tragic and emotional sort of situations, really, with regards to a couple. Husband was had a terminal diagnosis with cancer, had to go into a home to be able to be supported at sort of end of life, but there was no Wi-Fi connectivity in his room and wasn't able to speak to his wife. So we provided both of them then with the digital tablets to be able to still communicate, and he was able to see the garden, see his pets and things like that. And so, you know, that, so from something as quite emotive as that to great grandparents being able to see their first great grandchild, you know, things like that. And I think that the proactivity in terms of the calls allow us to be able to pick up on some of those circumstances and see whether or not we can find a solution to be able to support that individual then. The other element, I think, from Connect is that we do provide a 24/7 response service to our clients. So it's a formal response service. I know that's something that a couple of local authorities actually are able to provide. But unfortunately, Chris, it's a very expensive element of service delivery, and it's very difficult to sort of get it up the off the ground then, I suppose. So we've been lucky enough to do that with the transformation funding. Our response service covers the whole of the region. We've actually carried out something close to 5,000 call-outs since January 2020, predominantly from non-injurious fallers. So it's not a medical emergency team, okay? So we're not trying to replace Welsh Ambulance Service Trust or anything with regards to that. But we're all aware of the fact that actually ambulances get called out to inappropriate calls because that's the only option for a lot of people and for a lot of call monitoring centres, really. So if they haven't got family and friends can't get to them, or even if they can get to them, actually picking somebody up off of the floor when they've fallen is very difficult for an individual to do. And potentially we're talking about a family responder who might be in their 60s and 70s themselves trying to pick a mum and dad up. And you're going to be putting both at risk then, really. So out of all of our call outs, we've only had to escalate about 7% of those calls to emergency services. So I think it's a proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that actually a response service like this actually is very much needed and has a huge impact, because what we are doing is able to attend site within, I think it's on average 30 minutes we're able to get to somebody across the region. And if we're being realistic about the pressures that we've got on an ambulance service at the moment, those individuals that are low level need and actually a green then, I suppose, in terms of the way that the ambulance service will triage things, can be, and we've heard it, it's been in the news, it's been in the newspapers, people are on the floor for 8, 12 hours because they're uninjured, but the consequences of those long lies are significant. They will always be admitted into hospital, they lose their confidence, they lose their ability to think that, oh, actually I'm not safe in my own home then, I suppose, I've had to lie on the floor for a long time. There are also medical issues with regards to actually lying on the floor for a long time. So us being able to get there, pick them back up again, support them back to bed, back to the chair, make them a cup of tea. We do a follow-up call to check in on them, things like that. That's a huge benefit. I think the peace of mind for family members is immense, to be honest with you, Chris. And actually, people are happy then, I say happy to press their pendant. They know if they press their pendant that they're going to get a fairly swift response then in terms of us being able to go out and support them. So I think That's been a huge benefit. And again, as I've already touched on it, I think people don't want to be supported with statutory services necessarily. Not everybody that phones up adult social care teams wants a social worker and wants to have domiciliary care. But sometimes that's been their only option, whereas now we're able to support them in the community for a lot longer than, and like I said, build the resilience and maintain their independence.
That's a lovely, heartwarming story, isn't it, where you've been able to have that intervention and make sure that people are safe. And actually, when you think about the teamwork, I guess, with Blue Light, it's amazing, isn't it, how you have helped and supported. Only 7% then you need to escalate is a real success story. So, well, congratulations on that. That is great work happening in the three counties in West Wales. Well done. And I guess the other thing around assistive technologies is about wearables and things like that. So are you offering anything like that from Delta Wellbeing?
I think wearables are certainly the future, shall we say. We have got sort of GPS sort of tracker watches that we use that offer individuals a number of steps, you know, heart rate, those sorts of things. So again, it's about supporting individuals to take a bit of responsibility for their own sort of health and well-being a little bit then, really, isn't it? We are starting a project with ARMED, but it's again about understanding frailty and picking up proactively then and preventatively an understanding of what's happening to an individual based on their vital signs. So if somebody hasn't moved very much, if they are dehydrated, if their gait has changed, this wearable can actually detect some of those anomalies to allow us then to be able to step in and then and support that individual and intervene then before perhaps a fall might actually happen. So I think the reality of it is there are lots of wearables out there. It's about making sure that it's connected then, I suppose. Assistive technology lifeline services across the board in the whole of the UK are probably a little dated, but I'm hoping that the digital switchover will perhaps push things forward a little bit. You know, I think the pandemic, for all its negatives, has forced the hands, I suppose, on our health and social care staff and teams to be able to work differently. And I think we've got a discerning client group who say, well, I don't want to go back to the old way. We want to be able to do things differently. So let's go that. So I think we'll be driven by what our clients want us to do as well, really.
Yeah, well, I like that a lot. The client group asking for things and advancements in digital technology is definitely the right way forward. Well done. And it feels like you're going to go through quite a change program in the next sort of couple of years, which is exciting. I mean, I remember the day when the fire services would go out and assess for falls in people's homes. We've moved a long, long way from there, haven't we? So, and the future will be even more exciting, I think, in the way that we're going to embrace this sort of technology. So you mentioned right at the beginning, Carla, about sharing best practice. How do we make sure then the great work that you're doing in West Wales, well, first of all, goes over the border of Old Dyfed then into other counties across Wales? How do we make sure that happens? Are people looking at you? What are they doing?
Quite a lot of interest, Chris, to be honest with you, across the board. So I suppose Welsh Government have got a part to play in this with regards to how this is rolled out across Wales. So, I mean, like I said at the beginning, it was deemed a national exemplar project. There are clear benefits to health and social care by being preventative in an approach. The challenge being is how do you evaluate and how do you identify those cost savings, shall we say, then? And again, I'm not one to be too crude with regards to these things, but that's the reality of things, Chris, when we're talking about the outlay that is needed for a project, something like this, you know, in terms of staffing for response services and the teams around the background then. And I think being proactive and preventative isn't necessarily about the tech, it's about the wraparound services that are around that and the people that will then actually react to those things. So it's all well and good having perhaps an AI product that is going to be able to learn and it'll tell you something, but you've got to do something with that information. And I don't think a lot of places are actually at that place then to be able to do the something then. So I think there are lots of opportunities. We're having lots of conversations with our corporate customers about how they can sort of try things out. I think the good thing about what we've actually managed through the project is, as you said, we're working across three counties. Each of those counties does things slightly differently, Chris. As we know, you know, the 22 local authorities across Wales all do everything slightly differently in terms of those nuances. And partly because of obviously the challenges, the demographics that they've got and the demands that they've actually got within their counties and also about the budgets and how things are spent and where their priorities are. What I would say about Connect is that there is a core delivery of service that has to be put in place. But what we've experienced over the time that we've been running the project, it is adaptable depending on what is needed in those areas. And like what I would say about Delta is that we are very agile as a company and are able to flex with that. So I think although COVID has perhaps got in the way a lot for a lot of projects that have been running over the last 2 years, Connect has been very successful because it's been able to adapt and been agile, and we have as a company have been agile enough to be able to move with it then, really. So I think there are lots of opportunities to even take elements of the project and roll them out across Wales anyway.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a shining beacon through COVID, in fact, hasn't it? And it's wonderful to have had that support mechanism in place. Well, you know, sometimes the podcast does reach Welsh Government officials, and we'll have to send this podcast to the minister, and maybe then we'll have that call to make sure that there's sufficient funding to help and support this on a rollout. I guess finally for me then, Carla, around the Life Science Hub and the role that we can play in helping spreading the word about the whole area of assistive technology, and maybe spread the word about what you're doing with Connect and indeed through Delta Wellbeing. What should we be doing?
I think it is about just sharing that best practice, Chris, at the end of the day, and it's getting it through to the right people, isn't it? And I mean, I'm sure I could speak to thousands of frontline staff who would see the value of this and think, well, it's a bit of a no-brainer. That's exactly what we should be doing. But I suppose it's getting it the people that hold the purse strings, really. I think that there's that, and them understanding it. I always see value in people actually experiencing it firsthand. And I know we've had some challenges, I suppose, through COVID about people coming down to call centres and that. But actually, I think it makes such a difference. I can put lots of statistics together. I can put lots of data together about whatnot. But I think it's the personal stories that are the ones that actually make the difference sometimes. And sometimes I don't think you could put value on actually the impact that it can have on somebody, you know, doing something that we are doing. Okay, we can cost up whether or not they have less home care or whether or not they've not needed an ambulance to call out, et cetera, et cetera. But the impact for an individual on sort of how that affects them, their mental well-being, their overall well-being generally, I think we need to be able to get the right people to understand the benefits of it then, you know, and spread the word and share the love a little bit, really, I think, in terms of that, and see whether or not we can get those people then to be able to understand and support. There is a financial implication for it, absolutely. There is only so much that we can actually charge in terms of recovery back to clients, because invariably across Wales, all local authorities charge their clients for a basic service provision. And I think we just need to try and flip it a little bit, really. It's always difficult, you know, prevention, you normally take about 5 years plus to actually see the benefits of something like that. So it is hard when budgets are being cut. But I think we do have to understand that if you don't do something about it now, you're not going to make things any better. You know, we're still just going to be reacting to that huge amount of demand that's coming through the door. And I think what we are doing in Carmarthenshire, Ceredigion and Pembrokeshire is delaying those individuals and supporting them to have the best service that they possibly can, but only have what they need when they need it. Right help at the right time at the end of the day.
Excellent. Well, Carla, you've set me a challenge then. I'm going to come down and see you, I think, and make sure that we can actually...
Excellent, Chris.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And then I'm going to spread the word and share the love. I think that's a really good idea and welcome that opportunity. Well, look, my thanks to Carla Dix from Delta Wellbeing for joining us today to discuss assistive technologies. What an amazing, amazing success story from God's own country, from West Wales. They do say that West is best, don't they? So, look, truly inspirational, Carla. Fantastic work that you and the team are doing and having such a wonderful impact on the health and well-being of so many people and their lives. Congratulations. Job well done. Diolch yn fawr iawn.
Thanks very much, Chris.
You can find more information about this episode by going to lshubwales.com. If you've enjoyed this podcast, remember to like, share and subscribe to Healthy Thinking wherever you get your podcasts. Healthy Thinking was presented by Chris Martin for Life Sciences Hub Wales. It's a Bengo Media production.